So for the final installment of my summer sermon series on scripture verses worth remembering, I've chosen some inspiring words from the prophet Jeremiah. Really, they were meant to inspire some beaten down, taken advantage of, homesick, worn out people. Anyone feel like that at the end of a week? Anyone feel like that at the end of a weekend? Now, you might have memories of Sunday school or maybe some sermons where you've heard verses from the Old Testament that refer to things like Babylon or captivity or exile. Well, what exactly do those refer to? Let me summarize hundreds of years of history in 2 minutes. And you don't have to time me. I've already done it. It's 2 minutes. So in prehistoric times, which simply means before histories were recorded for future generations, in prehistoric times, God had selected a man from a nowhere place in what we now call Iraq. God selected Abraham to be the progenitor, the father of a nation, a people, who God called to be faithful and obedient. That nation of people eventually ended up as the slaves of the Egyptians. But when hundreds of years had passed, God raised up a man named Moses to challenge Pharaoh to let my people go. Eventually, the Hebrew people were able to escape the bonds of Egyptian slavery, and they wandered in the wilderness for a long, long time, supposedly 40 years. They wandered as they sought to understand and obey God's will. And eventually, God led them to a land that held much promise for them, a promised land. The Hebrew people, now called Israelites, settled there. And in terms of being faithful to God, they had their ups and their downs. In the year 587 B.C., the strong Babylonian army overtook Jerusalem, looted and destroyed the temple and the town, and then took with them back to Babylon the rich and the powerful and the learned leaders of Israelite society. And there in Babylon, they lived in exile for more than two generations. The movers and shakers of Israelite society were ripped away from the familiarity and the comforts and the opportunities that they had known back home. And meanwhile, the poor, unfortunate souls who were left behind in Israel were left in ruins and without their customary leadership. I imagine that communities recently ravaged by Hurricane Harvey can relate to the plight of those devastated Israelites. Now, all that background puts into context today's scripture verse worth remembering from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. Now, contrary to the old song by the group Three Dog Night, Jeremiah was not a bullfrog. He was a prophet. A devout man who sensed God calling him to challenge his beloved fellow Israelites, to challenge them when their actions or their attitudes were self-serving or God-forsaking. Jeremiah warned his fellow Israelites that the consequence of preferring self-interest over God's will, the consequence would be their undoing. And in the year 587, the Babylonian armies of King Nebuchadnezzar did just that. So in today's scripture verse worth remembering, Jeremiah speaks words of consolation and hope to the remnant people living in destroyed Jerusalem, as well as to the exiled people living far from home and far from hope. Giving voice to God's heartfelt compassion for those victimized by the Babylonian army's devastation, here's what Jeremiah wrote. I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. Well, if you were left looking at the Babylonian military police keeping an eye on you 24/7, or if you were left looking at the rubble of the Jerusalem temple, or the rubble of your Houston neighborhood, wouldn't you hope that God has a plan for you that gives you a future filled with peace? Last Sunday evening was the first of four fellowship and education events that our church is offering this fall. We're calling the programs Bridges, because the hope is that we'll begin to bridge some gaps in our attitudes, in our thinking, gaps that separate us from others and gaps that separate us from what God intends. Well, this past Sunday, the Reverend Dr. Richard Watts was our presenter. Dr. Watts guided us as we explored how we relate to people belonging to other faith traditions. He noted that religions are not all the same. They are not simply different expressions of a common set of beliefs. He asserted that different religious traditions don't believe all the same things. We don't do all the same things. Still, he said, in every religion there are deeply held beliefs that we would be surprised to discover are quite similar to beliefs that we embrace. And he encouraged developing relationships with people in other religious traditions as the best way to learn about and to appreciate and to respect the people and their outlook. Well, as today's sermon title, I used one of the expressions Dr. Watts shared, which I think is based on something that the Christian author C.S. Lewis once wrote. Last Sunday night, Dick advised us, "What you see depends on where you stand when you look." What you see depends on where you stand when you look. The people who Jeremiah was addressing had every reason to despair. The people, the places, the practices, possessions that defined their lives had been destroyed or carried away as the spoils of war, or had been removed from them when they were exiled to a faraway and foreign land. They had no military power. They had no Navy SEALs to come to their rescue. They had no prospect for an end to their exiled predicament. But Jeremiah assured them that regardless of how hopeless they imagined their prospects to be, God's intention for them, God's plan was for peace, not disaster. God's intention was to give them a future filled with hope, even in the bleakness of captivity or poverty. Jeremiah urged them to entrust their lives to God. Stand with God. Know that God looked upon their plight with faithfulness, with mercy, with forgiveness, with a promise to sustain the weak, with hope and a promise that joy will not be absent forever. What they'd see would depend on where they were standing when they looked. When in their lives they stood with God, they would see beyond the troubles of the present to that future filled with hope that God intended for them. How might that promise to the exiled or to the remnant Israelites, how might that apply to us? Well, consider our contentious government. Consider our squabbling society. Consider this saber-rattling world we're living in. When we strive to stand with God, what we will see is that God wills peace for us. God desires wholeness. God urges friendship and companionship. God longs for justice so that fairness and mercy will guide our interpersonal relationships and will shape governmental policy. What you see depends on where you stand when you look. Today we stand in God's house, looking at a table holding pieces of bread and cups of juice. But because we are standing or sitting in God's house, what we see is not simply sample sizes of bread and juice. Because we stand in the grace of God, when we look, what we see is forgiveness. What we see is acceptance. What we see is the joy of fellowship. In the words of that great and beloved hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," when we stand with God and we look upon this table, what we see is pardon for sin and a peace that endures, God's own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all ours with 10,000 beside. What a friend we have in Jesus, that we are invited to be part of a future filled with hope that God already has in sight for us. In moments, or in minutes, or in months of discouragement and despair, our faith in God through Jesus the Son gives us the strength and the hope to carry on, because by faith we know this to be true. "I know the plans I have in mind for you," declares the Lord. "They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope."